From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons. The Japanese government is doubling the number of troops being sent to the Northeast to help with rescue and relief efforts. That number is now up to 100,000. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports the task is enormous.
At a press briefing, Prime Minister Naoto Kan called the crisis the worst in the 65 years since the end of World War II. He said how Japan responds to this disaster will shape the country's future. The police chief of Miyagi Prefecture near the quake's epicenter said 10,000 residents may have perished in the catastrophe. Hundreds of thousands of residents have sought refuge in evacuation centers. Many more are without water and electricity. Officials say that damage to the Fukushima nuclear power plants that supply Tokyo mean that rolling blackouts could start as soon as tomorrow. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Tokyo.
It's unclear how the destruction from the earthquake and tsunami will affect Japan's economy. There are fears the Tokyo stock market will nosedive when trading opens Monday. Auto analyst Aaron Bragman with IHS says Toyota, Nissan, and Honda are suspending production at their Japanese plants due to the widespread damage.
It is not coming at a good time for any number of these automakers, especially when you look at some of the vehicles that are coming out of there. These are the smaller vehicles, the fuel-efficient vehicles, that are now starting to see a bit of a rebound in global markets because of fuel price rising.
When auto production will resume is still unclear. The area hardest hit by the quake is a major center for car production. Forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi are moving into the oil port of Brega in their latest advance against rebel fighters. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Benghazi. The front line has been pushed steadily eastward into rebel territory in recent days.
Rebel fighters fell back from the port of Brega, which they had wrested from pro-government forces a week ago. With no weapons that can compare with the artillery and aerial rockets employed by the pro-Gaddafi forces, the rebels have been giving up ground in fierce fighting. In Benghazi, the provisional government hailed the Arab League's call for a no-fly zone over Libya, even as some began to wonder if it could be established in time, and if so, would it allow the rebels to recapture the momentum. Preparations are underway among the rebels to defend the next city under their control, Ajdabiya, and Benghazi itself. The White House issued a statement welcoming the call for a no-fly zone and said the international community will maintain pressure on Gaddafi. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
Investigators are still looking into the cause of yesterday's fatal tour bus crash outside of New York City. The bus slid off the road and into a sign pole that sliced off the top of the vehicle. 14 lives were lost as a result. The driver told police he was hit by a tractor trailer, but a law enforcement official says passengers recount how the driver swerved several times prior to the crash for no apparent reason. This is NPR News from Washington. College basketball fans, not to mention teams and coaches, are at the edge of their seats this hour. As NPR's Allison Keyes tells us, the National Collegiate Athletic Association is about to unveil this season's 68-team tournament bracket.
There's an expanded field this year with three more teams. That means some schools who wouldn't usually have a chance have a shot this time. University of Michigan coach John Beilein's team lost yesterday to top-ranked Ohio State, but he still says his Wolverines deserve a spot, having gotten to the semifinals in the Big Ten tournament.
It is tough to win on the road here. It is a top-to-bottom, it's a very good conference. And we finished fourth.
Several pundits are predicting that both UCLA and USC will be among those selected for the NCAA tournament. Allison Keyes, NPR News.
He's considered by many to be one of the most famous drummers in jazz history. Family members say Joe Morello died yesterday at his home in New Jersey. You can hear his cymbals in this classic Blue Rondo a la Turk. Morello, who was 82, is best known for his work with the Dave Brubeck Quartet. In recent years, he taught and wrote instructional books. Tomorrow, New York City will be releasing its plans for transforming its waterfront. The project, with a price tag of $3 billion-plus, will be announced by the Bloomberg administration. It calls for adding 50 new acres of parks and overhauling the city's sewage system to reduce waste. Vision 2020 is aimed at revitalizing the 520 miles of shoreline that has been viewed by many as more of a dumping ground than a destination. I'm Nancy Lyons, NPR News in Washington.